We've just heard something on why humans should or maybe should not commemorate other than human species. So that would be one way how memory and ecology might be related. But there might also be other ways how you can connect those both topics, right? A major one among them being relations through landscapes that might have a significance both for human and other than human beings.
Yeah, landscape is not only natural, but also cultural. We can create a forest, we look at trees. Due to the small place for German, for the European continent, the landscape is already shaped by human beings. Now we're going to turn into a short interview with Dr. Sonia Pick, is a human geographer and professor of environmental study at Bates College. Her interdisciplinary research explores environmental politics, culture, and governments in Europe and South America. She's also the author of Mnemonic Ecology, published in MIT Press, aiming at discussing the memory and natural conservation along the former Iron Curtain. So, Dr. Pick, in your book Mnemonic Ecology, the German border now turning to the Greenbelt, can you tell us about what it is and the ethical conflict going on and how mnemonic ecology works in here?
Human beings dwell in the landscape, and they do so over time. And in the process, they leave traces over time. And so we can see the traces of past inhabitation. And the humans alive today hold memories, sometimes over generations, sometimes individual memories that help them create an identity and help them root in place and attach to place. And so a lot of stories are told about the ancients or older, like people, prior generations who used the space in a particular way. So there are traces, like physical traces, biological, ecological, abiotic traces of that past land use and those past decisions that people make and that human communities today have to live with. And that can be radiation poisoning, like the explosion at Chernobyl. It can be, the indigenous forest gardens in the Amazon that gives greater species richness today. So these can be quote unquote good or bad, right? And then there's the piece where the landscape itself holds those memories, right? So those traces exist, right? We speak a lot about microplastics, right? A million years from now, there's probably going to be a layer of plastic somewhere in the geological strata to recognize that there was a society once that built its lives around oil and plastic. So that there is such a thing also as ecological memory, animal memory, plant memory, that humans may or may not interact with. The inter-German border is a layered landscape. It has, it was previously inhabited. It's been inhabited since Stone Age. So we have lots and lots of layers of human inhabitation. We have two world wars and the Second World War that led to a lot of destruction and a lot of restructuring and a partition. Then we had the border that went in, and the border was predicated upon destruction and a rebuilding or restructuring of the landscape, and was predicated on death and violence, displacement and destruction of prior layers of, and the erasure or the rendering invisible of prior layers of human lives and inhabitation. And so the newest layer in some ways is the ecological revival of this place, right? So the fact that rivers returned to their old flow, or that wetlands recovered because they couldn't be drained anymore because of the border surveillance system and other kinds of, you know, a new species that were coming in that had left this, you know. So that would be maybe the newest of many, many layers. And so then the question becomes, if conservationists want to protect the space and they celebrate just the very top layer, is that the ethical way of doing conservation? And we're finding in the German example that that is not appropriate, nor is it ethical, nor is it true and of the place and honoring of the place. So how do you do conservation that in a space that is that layered, that traumatized, and that wounded? Well, you use a mnemonic ecological approach. You pay more attention to the memory of the place, the kinds of traces that adhere to the place. So if the East German government, because they were too broke and they couldn't pay for quality herbicides, started dousing areas in diesel fuel to kill off all the plants so the snipers could shoot somebody and have a clear view. The diesel fuel today still stunts growth, right? We should maybe pay attention to what the meaning of that is and make meaning of it, because the plants certainly are making meaning of it. How do we read that? Who gets to read it?
There was some interesting insights into how certain landscapes can be collectively remembered. But actually, one might also think of examples of more individual connections between people and the landscapes around them and how they memorize them or remember them. And that's something that Group 3 is gonna discuss now.